name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in church here tonight? Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to James chapter 5. And tonight I'm going to call this message, Healing is for a Greater Purpose. Healing is for a greater purpose. And yes, we are going to talk about the healing promises of God here tonight. We're going to go over to James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. And we know this. The scripture tells us that God spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. He said there in Romans 8:32, if he gave you Christ, how shall he not also in Christ freely give you all things? The scripture says that Jesus Christ was crucified upon a Roman cross. He hung there for 3 hours. He died upon that cross, shed his blood that was given to us for the remission of our sins. The Bible says that he then descended into hell and paid our debt there. And then on the third day, he rose again. And the Bible says that when Jesus Christ rose again, not only did he become the Savior of all mankind, he became the healer of all mankind. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was a healer then, he's a healer now. The Bible says that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. The Bible says that he was smitten on our behalf, you know, and people thought that he was being smitten because of his own, you know, sins or something like that. Remember in those days, they wondered, like, what did he do to deserve that crucifixion? Well, he did nothing to deserve it. We were the reason he was there. Our sin was the reason that he was there, and he died and he rose again. And now he is alive forevermore. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is a Savior of all humanity. He is a provider in everything in our lives. Amen. And so if you've got a need, I'm here to tell you, Jesus can meet it. Amen. And not just because, you know, we're looking to have our needs selfishly met. We're going to talk about healing for a greater purpose here tonight. And you'll see what I'm getting at. Go over to James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. And we're going to read right on down through verse 20. And maybe when you read this passage of Scripture, it probably is familiar to many of you. But yet you don't think of this as a healing passage. Well, there's definitely some healing verses in here. And maybe there's just some things that we're going to see that we never saw before, or we're going to think about some things that we didn't think about before, and what it means to be the healed of the Lord or to walk in God's healing promises. You know, we've got good news. God wants you healthy and strong. Amen. He wants you healthy and strong, and he's gracious. He knows that, you know, we face a lot of challenges, you know, in this earth. He knows that, of course, there's a real devil. And the Bible says, well, Jesus said himself in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to have a full, healthy, and strong life. Of course, we go through challenges. We've all been tested in our bodies before. We've had things, you know, come against us and whatnot. But the good news is that we have a God in heaven who is our healer. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see that right here in this passage. Look at verse 14. It says, is any sick among you? And we're going to ask that question, you know, is any sick among you? Well, we got to know who is the people he's talking about. Who are the ones that are among us? He says, let him, or let the sick one, call for the elders of the church, and let them, the elders of the church, pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. We believe in that. Praise the Lord. Actually, it was just a couple weeks ago, there was a gentleman that approached me and said, hey, will you anoint me with oil and pray? Absolutely. You know, we believe that. And now look at the verse. It's not done. In verse 15, it goes on. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The word save there is talking about rescuing them out of their sickness. It says, in the prayer of faith, rescue the sick, and the Lord should raise him up, the sick one. And if, doesn't mean, you know, this is the case every time, but if that he has committed any sins, meaning the sick one, they shall be forgiven him. You know, the word if there just means, like, you know, just because someone gets sick doesn't mean it's a result of sin. It could be, but it doesn't mean every single time. No doubt every one of us have been tested and tried, you know, just, you know, with sickness. It wasn't necessarily our fault. It's just, you know, living in a fallen world. And then verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another. Boy, we wouldn't think that this is a healing verse, but look at the rest of it. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults and pray for one another, right? So that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Wow. Well, we see that prayer that is with fervor can what? Heal the sick, can forgive the sinner, right? Amen. It can change lives. And then verse 17, he gives us an illustration of a mighty man of God from the Old Testament. He says Elias, or we would say Elijah, one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament, was a man subject to like passions as we are. What that really is trying to say is that Elijah, you know, had temptations and trials just like any of us have had. Meaning that he, you know, was a natural man. He was a guy just like we are. And it says that he, Elijah, prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. How many of you remember that? Yeah. You know, Elijah and Ahab and all that was going on back there. And then in verse 18, it says, he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. In verse 19, it says, brethren, everyone say brethren. 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 He says, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him, meaning, now we're going to ask this question, if he's addressing the brethren, who is this passage written to, everybody? Us. It's written to Christians, or more specifically, it's written to the church. It's written to the church. The church isn't the building. The church is the people. This is who we are, right? We're called the church, or the body of Christ that fulfills all in all. Brethren, do we have any brethren here tonight? Women included. That's not just a masculine term. You know, it's talking about believers in a fellowship or a local church. It says, if any of you, even Christians, err from the truth and one converts him or holds him accountable. Folks, I tell you what, Christian accountability is at an all-time low. We need people in our lives that'll hold us accountable. You know, and I know on social media, you know, and all the things that are going on today, people don't want to be held accountable. And people don't want to hold others accountable because we're afraid that someone might not like us. You might not get the like. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what, give up the likes on Facebook, you know. You don't have to be liked by everybody. But if you have someone in your life that loves you enough to keep you accountable, I'll tell you what, you're blessed. It was by someone, a brother in the Lord, is the one who held me accountable and started me on my road to serving God. Amen. I would have never served the Lord had I not been corrected by a brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. And look at verse 20. It says what happens when we turn somebody from, when we hold them accountable. He says, let them know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. So we see this passage. Let's go back to verse 14. And we don't realize just how much this is a healing passage. And healing is for a greater purpose. Look at verse 14 again. It says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. So this is written again to who, everybody? This is written to the church. This is written to the gathered people of God. All right, notice that they had a church like we have a church. There were elders, you know, that there was leadership, you know, in that church. It says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what does verse 15 say? It says, and the prayer of faith in the name of the Lord shall what? Rescue or save the sick. So we right there, I mean, we could go through so many passages in the Bible. Is it God's desire for the sick to be healed? Yes. Does that mean that, you know, of course, this earth has a lot of trials and temptations in it, and there's things that happen that come against us. But we can see if God didn't want the sick man healed, why would he tell the people to come, you know, to find the elders of the church in the name of the Lord, anoint them with oil, and it shall rescue the sick. The prayer of faith shall rescue the sick. Amen. So clearly God must have a heart and a desire to see us walking in health. He must desire to have us walking in strength. You know, he clearly does. I believe that. I believe it. I'm glad that the local church has instruction in the Word of God of how we can get help for our natural bodies. I'm very grateful. I believe it. This is New Testament. Amen. Praise the Lord. So go back to verse 14. It says, is there any sick among you? He's talking about the church. God wants us walking in that health. He has provided a way in the local church. But here's the facts, that so oftentimes healing is promoted as something that is just for the individual. Meaning, if we're not careful, healing, we think that it's just something, you know, just for us. Meaning just as an individual, it's just for us so we can, you know, go to work and we can have the strength to earn an income and, you know, and God wants that. Praise the Lord. How many of you know you got to have health and strength, you know, to make an income and go through life and to spend time with your family and exercise and, you know, do things that you enjoy. God is for that. Amen. But if we're not careful, healing so often is promoted as something that the individual just might get at church and take it out of the church. Or we think that if we're not careful, that healing is just about us, it's just about our natural bodies. But if we'll look carefully in this passage, we'll see that healing isn't just something for the individual's natural body. Who is this written to, everybody? The church. The church is what? The Lord's body. Boy, we can go, where is that verse? Can you go to, bring up Ephesians 1:22. And I might have to look to some of my Bible scholars around here. Make sure there's a verse playing on the inside. Can you try Ephesians 1:22? We can try bringing this up. It says this, and God has put all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. Everyone say the church. Now, the church doesn't mean just this local church. It means any assembly, any local church that preaches Christ, amen, any believer, you know, let's talk about the church universal. But it says, Jesus is the head of all things to the church. Notice the comma at the end. It's not done. Look at verse 23. It tells us what the church is, which is Christ's body, the fullness of Christ that fills all in all. Or meaning the fullness of Christ that does everything that Christ can do. Amen. You wonder what Jesus can do? He can do, you know, whatever the local church, you know, whatever the local church can do, whatever Jesus can do. You know, meaning not one individual, but together, you know, we represent the Lord. We're his body. How many of you believe that you are part of the Lord's body? Amen. We're part of the Lord's body, which does what? It produces the fullness of Christ. Not any one of us is the full, you know, it's not talking about just one person. It's talking about us together putting our measure together. But now go back to James 5:14. Healing is not just primarily for us as individuals, all right? Yes, it shows up in our natural body. Yes, it helps us go to work. And yes, it helps us make money and you know, do all the things that we enjoy in this life. But notice in this passage, it's talking about the local church. It's talking about the body of Christ. We are not just healed so we can go about our lives as we want it. We are healed so we can bring that health, strength, and vitality to the Lord's body. Amen. You know, and if we're not careful, we'll just think it's just about us. I'm here to tell you, whatever God does in your life, it's not just about you. He heals so that we can continue to walk in strength to fulfill our role in the body of Christ. And if we're not careful, if we get selfishly minded, if we start thinking that healing is just for us, it's actually healing and health and strength in my body isn't just for me, it's for all you. Because it takes health and strength for a pastor to be here. I drive 100 miles round trip, you know, every Saturday night to be here. And I love every second of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, or you being here, you getting here. It takes health and strength, you know, to serve in that nursery or to serve in the ushers or to serve in the music or serve in the audio visual. It takes health and strength to fulfill the plan of God. Amen. And so if you've got health and strength in your body, that means that the Lord's body can benefit from the health and strength in your life. Amen? And so we're kind of talking about nuance. We got to make sure that we switch out of thinking that blessings are just for us as individuals. We got to become more body of Christ minded and start to understand healing flows to the individual so that we participate in the body. Does that make sense? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, God loves you. Yes, He loves the individual. Yes, He's strong on your behalf. But I'm here to tell you that we aren't just here for ourselves. Church should be where selfishness comes to die. If I have health and strength in my body, then the body of Christ benefits. If I have resources or provision or wealth, the body of Christ benefits. Amen. If you're successful and you're a faithful tither and a giver, the body of Christ benefits. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have gifts or talents in your life, you know, those gifts and those talents, God gave them to you to be a blessing in the body, you know, to strengthen the Lord's body. You know, we had the singers, musicians, Reverend Tony and our worship team. I mean, those are talents and gifts that are serving the body. People that are administrating, technical people that are working in our sound and audio, you know, cleaning and working and helping, and people that are volunteering tomorrow to work at the church and to keep it excellent. Those are gifts, ability that serves the body of Christ. And see, this passage is trying to tell us really where health comes from. Health does not just come from this natural body. Health comes from being connected properly to this body, to being connected to the body of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like a body part of your natural body, if you take my pinky off of my body, my pinky's in trouble, right? The pinky cannot survive if it's not attached to the body, right? My body can live without the pinky, but my pinky can't live without the body. In the same way, the church can live without you, but you can't live without the church. Oh boy, yeah, that's absolutely right. The church can live without me. The church can live without you. The church isn't about one person or just, you know, somebody like that. But we can't live. I can't live without my local body of Christ. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? If I have hunger and desire, if I come to the Lord's house and I'm desiring and I'm attentive and I'm listening and I'm receiving, how many of you know we all benefit from that? What if we all just brought a full measure every single time? This week, I'm going to be in a lot of church services. I'm going to probably, between now and next Saturday, I'll be in somewhere around 8 church services this week. I'll be attending, you know, most of those. And I've made up my mind already that when I attend those services, I'm going to bring my hunger, my desire. I'm going to receive in those meetings. Amen. Why? Because I'm bringing that for the body. Amen. If I bring my praise, the body benefits. If I bring my hunger and desire, the whole body of Christ can receive and be blessed and benefit from it. Amen. Healing is given for the sake of the Lord's body. When we think that healing is just something for the individual, we've missed the greater purpose of healing. Healing is about keeping the body of Christ strong. And so many times, if we're not careful, we will try to just make healing about this body. It's not. Healing is about this body. That's right. Am I making this, you know, clear? See, we'll be better off when we start thinking. Let me show you. You're in James there. Go back one chapter. Go back to chapter 4 and go to verse 1 and let's read a few verses here. Amen. If I've got strength in my body, I'm going to give it to the Lord's body. Amen. If I got any gifts in my life, I'm gonna give it to the Lord's body. If he gave me any kind of gift to teach, preach the word of God, I'm gonna give it to the Lord's body. Amen. You know, if you could sing, I had at one point very, very marginal musical ability. I led praise and worship for 3.5 years, and the Lord delivered us all from that. You never had to suffer through that. The Erie Church never had to suffer, you know, through that. The Jamestown Church did for a little while. But you know what? I didn't have much to give, but I had just a little bit enough. So I gave it. I served the Lord with it. You know, this Oh, this quote is coming to my heart right now. I read this. Have you ever heard of a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs? Fox's Book of Martyrs, it was written hundreds of years ago, and it is basically the history of the church, of those, especially during the medieval times, going all the way back to the days of the Roman Empire, the first few hundred years of the Roman Empire, and the things that Christians suffered at the hands of these people. I mean, just awful things. And these people did not renounce Christ. They would stand there and be just tortured, awful. And they just would not give up Christ. And I was reading the story, and I don't remember the man's name. There's so many names in that book. And I was reading about this man who the Romans, it was somewhere in the second or third century. And this man was commanded, he said, if you don't, you know, bow down to these pagan gods, bow down to the Roman gods, if you do not renounce Christ, you're going to die. And he said, I am not going to give the devil the honor and the glory that is due to my Lord and Savior. I believe what we're talking about here tonight for the local church, I am not going to, you know, in my old life without Jesus, I was playing guitar in bars and all that. And there came a time in my life where I got saved and I had to start lending any strength and ability to the Lord's body. I'm not going to give to the devil what should be given to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so if we've got strength, if we've got time, if we've got resources, amen, it's for the body. But if we make it about ourselves, we're going to miss it. Look at James 4:1. It says, from where do come wars and fightings among you? Wow, he's talking about the church. Boy, don't you think, man, if they had, you know, they had fights in church back then, just like we have them now. He says, don't they come not from hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members? Meaning, we all want things our own way. See, church is not the place where we come to get our own way. Church is the place where we come to lay down our own way. Why? Because he doesn't want fighting in the body of Christ. He doesn't want people arguing and, you know, going after each other and slandering one another and causing problems and all this stuff. He says it's because you're selfish. You desire your own way. And look at it. He says, verse 2, he says, you lust or you desire. It's not talking about sexual lust here. He says, you lust or you desire and have not. You kill and desire to have. The word kill here is actually not talking about physically taking somebody's life. It's talking about putting them down. You criticize them. You go after them. You know, you try to ruin their reputation. You kill, you desire to have, but yet you cannot obtain. You fight and you war amongst yourselves, yet you have not because you ask not. Look at verse 3. It gives us this answer. You ask and receive nothing. These are people that are seeking God for something. He says, you're asking God and you receive nothing because you ask God amiss or you ask him wrong, right? It says, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. See, this is a real answer of why sometimes we do not get our prayers answered. If we have a desire just to get something for our own without lending it to the Lord's body, then we're just trying to consume it on our own desire and our own purpose. Are you here tonight? It's not just healing. It could be, you know, your needs met. You know, it could be anything you're believing God for, anything you're using faith for. If we're not careful, if we make our prayers and our desires all about ourselves, he says you're not going to receive anything. Are you here? See, I want you to receive from God. But if we're going to receive from him, we're going to have to just make a little adjustment in our heart and make sure that what we're believing God for, whether it's health, healing, if it's all your needs met, if it's direction in your life, if it's things pertaining to your kids, your family, your marriage, whatever you're praying about, we're going to need to make sure that we're first lending what we have to the Lord. We're going to need to make sure that we're living for his body's sake. He says, you ask, you receive not because you ask wrong, because you just want it for yourself. Folks, if we're not careful, healing will be that way. We just want it for ourselves, which, hey, I got good news. God wants it for you. But he does not want you to have it at the cost or the expense of putting the Lord's body first. Are you getting a hold of this? See, I really, really believe this passage is making it clear that the healthiest, strongest life comes from a heart that puts the Lord's body first. Amen. Amen. Why? Go back to James chapter 5. Go to verse 15 now. Praise the Lord. If I've got something, if I've got health in my body, I can serve the Lord. If I've got resources, provision, or whatever it is, I can serve the Lord. If I've got gifts and talents, I can serve the Lord with it. Amen. It says we don't receive because we ask so we can consume it upon our own desires. We just seek it for ourselves. If we're not careful, we want healing for this body, right? Your natural body. But we should make sure, Lord, I thank you, Lord. You've got a plan for my life. Lord, if I am not healthy and strong, I'm not going to have the ability to serve your body like I should. You can have a great call of God on your life. But obviously, if you don't have the health and the strength to carry it out, right? Yes. See, we got to make sure we have this priority. This motive has got to be right. Are you here tonight? Yes. Is everyone getting a hold of this? Yes. If we're not careful, we'll just be like, oh, Lord, I just want to be healed. I'll do anything to get healed. You know, heal me this, heal me that. Well, what do you intend to do with that healing? Are you going to serve the Lord's body with that healing? Yes. You're going to serve, you know, how is the Lord's body going to benefit from you being healed? How's the Lord's body going to benefit by you being blessed financially or blessed with time or talents? Are you here?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. If we're not careful, we want it for ourselves. Go to James 5:15. We're going to just get a little further here. See, the fact of the matter is I'm not my own. This natural body doesn't even belong to me. Do you know that the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that your natural body is the purchased possession of Christ? My body doesn't belong to me. I can't just do what I want with it. You know, I've got to consult the Lord and I got to, you know, follow his word. Amen. I am not my own. Any gifts and abilities that I have are not my own. Any ability that's in me is not for me. It's for you. It's for the church. It's for the body of Christ because that's who you are. Amen. My money is not for me. You understand? Praise the Lord. Healing and prosperity, they aren't just for me. It's not just for the individual. These things are for the body of Christ. Let me take you. Hold your place. Hold your place in James 5. Go to Acts chapter 4. Amen. How many of you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Okay, four of you, five of you. All right. Do you want to walk in the power of God? I mean, do you want to see God show up in your life? Well, let's look at what happens when he does show up in somebody's life. Go to Acts chapter 4. Ooh, my bookmark was right there at that. Perfect. I was in here. Go to Acts 4:32. This is the early church. These are Christians just like me and you in the early days right after Jesus' ascension. And so this is the first century. And they were Christians. They had leaders, except the leaders of their church were the 12 apostles. So they had a little bit stronger leadership than most places, right? The greatest men that ever walked the earth were their leaders. But it says this, it says, the multitude of them that believed. Do we have any believers here tonight? All of them were what? Of one heart and one soul. They were in complete unity together. What can happen when there's unity? Neither said any of them. Imagine, and remember, we're here in chapter 4. Remember how many were just added to the church in the chapter 2 and 3, right before this? Thousands. Thousands. This isn't just a church of 75. You know, it was a church of literally thousands of people, and all of them were one heart and one soul. And none of them said that any of the things which they possessed was their own, but they had it all common. Wow. See, when the Holy Ghost moves upon your life, it doesn't make you concentrate on yourself. It makes you think of the body. Watch this. Now, because they... See, we live in a day and a time where a lot of, you know, TV preachers and stuff are talking about how you can prosper as the individual. If we're not careful, the message will be distorted to make it think like, you know, we should get attached to stuff. But when the Holy Ghost moved upon the early church, it didn't make them attached to their stuff. It detached them from their stuff. It gave them a willing heart to do whatever it took to see that their church and their local body prospered. That's absolutely right. Man, I tell you what, there was a day and a time in this country when this nation loved to see the church prosper. Man, you know, I'll tell you what, if you've been around in our area, have you seen the cathedrals that were built? Oh, yeah. Have you gone downtown and seen those churches that were built 100, 200 years ago? Because they're so beautiful because they believed back then that the church should be in the most beautiful building in town. A lot of them were built up on hills because they believed that the church should be the highest building in town. What town is it? Charleston, South Carolina. You know Charleston, South Carolina? They had a law, and I believe it's still in effect. It may not be in effect anymore, but it was in effect for a long time, that no building in the city of Charleston could be built over a certain height because every building had to be shorter than the church that was downtown. They made it a law. Your building, your business, it could not be taller than the church. The early church, when the Holy Ghost moved upon them, right, they said, you know what, everything in my life is to help the body of Christ. And you're going to see how these people help the body of Christ. Look at verse 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Everyone say grace. Grace is when God gets a hold of your heart and doesn't make you want stuff for yourself. It makes you want to serve the body of Christ. See, everybody wants the grace of God, but they're just after it for themselves if we're not careful. Folks, do you see that healing has a greater purpose? Let me ask yourself, if you need healing in your body, that's, you know, God wants that. But what are you going to do with that healing and strength? And of course, we could go and ask that about anything in our lives. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it, right? Yeah, I don't know if I'm preaching you happy, but I'm preaching me happy. Look at verse 34, and here was the answer in the early church. Neither was there any among them that lacked. No one had any need there. Whoa. Poverty was eliminated by the move of the Holy Ghost. Boy, you guys are real excited about that. Why? Why did none of them lack? Because they had the heart that God desired to put the body first. When you put the body first, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses, plural. There was some people that were blessed in the early church, plural. Sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold. In verse 35, and it says, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Folks, I'm not here to preach tonight that you need to go sell your house and give it to the church. I'm just showing you the heart and the grace of the early church that when the Spirit moved upon them, they said, they had such a revelation of God, they said, nothing is my own. If I've got ability, it belongs to the Lord. If I've got money, it belongs to the Lord. If I've got lands, it belongs to the Lord. If I've got ability, if I've got health, if I've got strength, it belongs to Him. I believe this sometimes is the very adjustment that needs to be made in order for God's people to receive what they need. Because if we're not careful, our trials have a way of making us just think of ourselves. Amen. Listen, if you're going to fulfill the plan of God in your life, you're going to need strength and help. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something out of this? Yes. It says that they made distribution as everyone had need. Okay, let's keep on reading because it really talks about some wonderful people in these last couple of verses of this chapter. It says, and Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas. How many of you remember Barnabas? This guy, I tell you what, you should do a study on Barnabas. You know, I've taught on Barnabas, boy. Anyway, don't get me monologuing on Barnabas. Which is being interpreted. His name literally means the son of consolation, or literally the son of encouragement. What if your name was a son of encouragement? And I'll tell you what, he lives by his name if you study him out. He was, do you know there was a time that he was the leader at the church of Antioch, who was, it was the second greatest church next to Jerusalem. Remember in Antioch, it was where they were persecuted and they were you know, went running out from Antioch. And he was the leader of a great church. And he could have been in the limelight. He could have been the leader of everybody. But the Lord told him there was somebody who was hanging out in the desert who the Lord was dealing with. This little guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who later was who? The Apostle Paul. And the Lord said, go get Saul of Tarsus, or the Apostle Paul, get him out of the desert of Arabia and bring him to Antioch. He's going to lead the way from here on out. And Barnabas said, okay, Lord. He was so selfless. He could have been like, but that's my job. I want to be the leader. I want to be the front man. No, but he was so sold out. Listen, nothing belongs to us. A leadership position, this doesn't belong to me. You know what I mean? This church does not belong to, it belongs to the Lord. Amen. And it says, the son of encouragement, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, look what he did. Barnabas, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Or we could say it this way, he just wanted to provide for the Lord's body. They had provision. There was nobody poor in their midst. There was nobody lacking in their midst, because Christians of the early church didn't believe that anything of theirs was their own. It was for the strengthening and the help and the success of the Lord's body. Are you getting a hold of this? Amen. Now go back to James chapter 5 and verse 15. Oh, wow. Is there any sick among you? In verse 14, right? It says, let them call for the elders, anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. Now verse 15, it says, and the prayer of faith shall rescue the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The Lord will raise him up. The Lord will raise him up. Wow. You know, I just saw the Lord raise somebody up. Literally. Yeah. Did I tell that? No. Did I tell that testimony? I may have mentioned it, but, I've said it to a few people and I've given it a couple of different places. So I'll just share it here. I was called, there was a young couple in the Jamestown church, and they were having their first child, and we got a call saying that this young woman in her 20s was having great difficulty, and she was giving birth at the hospital right downtown Jamestown, and she had to have an emergency C-section, and she had lost a lot of blood, and now all the doctors were thinking this young girl is gonna die. And so we got the call. This young couple has been in the church, for a while. And, we were contacted. And I was just sitting in my office at the time. As soon as I heard it, and they said, Pastor, can you please, come on down here? And so I was just getting ready to jump in my vehicle and go right to the hospital. So as I stood around the right side of my desk, the first thing I did is not run out the door. The first thing I did is I went to my knees to pray. And I just started praying, and it was not a few moments before the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said this. The Holy Ghost said, rebuke the spirit of death, because if you don't, she's going to die. I've never heard that before. And so I just said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of death, and death, you are not allowed to have this young woman. And I said, Satan, you take your hands off of her right now. She will not die, she will live, and she will declare the works of the Lord. Amen? And so then I got up, I drove down there, I got in there, and she was in the OR, and the doctors were real welcoming. Sometimes they're not, meaning sometimes doctors, don't want additional people in. I don't know if these nurses and doctors, if they were of faith or whatever, but they're like, Pastor, come on in right now. And they put me in the garb. They suited me up, they put the net on my hair and all that stuff. And I walked into the OR, and, of course, she was all intubated and everything. I couldn't even recognize her. And I got in there, and there was nurses standing around. And I said, hello, I said hi. And I knew. I knew what was about to happen, what prayer I was about to pray. and I knew it would probably shock them, you know, somewhat. And I just said, hello, I appreciate all that you're doing. And they had her wrapped up. She was intubated. And they said, you know, we're really concerned. You know, we need to fly her down to Pittsburgh. You know, this does not look good. And so I just, you know, took her hand. And believe me, this is not because I'm a pastor. It's just because I'm a believer. It's just any Christian can do. This does not have anything to do with being a pastor. And I just took her hand, and I'm sure the prayer probably shocked, you know, those that were standing in the operating room. But I took her hand, and I said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of death. Death, you are not to have her. She is going to recover. She is going to live a full, healthy, long life. She's going to raise this child that was just born. She is going to live life with her husband. She's going to fulfill the plan of God. For Lord, you said with long life you would satisfy us and show us your daily salvation. Amen. And long story short, they wheeled her out. They put her on a helicopter, sent her to Pittsburgh. And within 24 hours, literally, it was less than 24 hours, they took the two out. She was so swollen. She was filled with so many fluids and everything. I would have not known who she was if I wasn't told. And within 24 hours, they took the breathing machine out. She literally was sitting up in bed talking in less than a day. 3 days later, she was completely home, healed, recovered. She was rescued, and the Lord raised her up. And the doctors in Pittsburgh, they said, we have never seen, this was the words that were given to them, they said, we have never seen anybody intubated who recovered that quickly. They said, we thought, she went from, you know, on death's doorstep. What was it? It wasn't the pastor that saved her. It was the Lord that raised her up. It was just the prayer of faith rescued the sick. And the question is, when those things try to come to your doorstep, do we know how to pray the word of faith or the prayer of faith? Will we know what to do? You know, I've told this story, you know, several times. There was a young man in the Jamestown church. He and his family were at a relative's swimming pool. Long story short, they had four kids, and they're all playing in the yard and stuff. And all of a sudden, they realized that their youngest was missing. They said, hey, where's our youngest daughter? And they started looking around, and finally they found their youngest daughter. She was at the bottom of the swimming pool. And this was a family that was also in the Jamestown church. And the husband just jumped in and got his little girl out and set her on the deck of the pool. And he was telling me this story. He said that just something came over him. He said to his little girl that had been underwater for several minutes. They said about 7 or 8 minutes underwater. And he said, you're not going to die. You are going to live. And I refuse, you know, and just prayed the prayer of faith. Long story short, that child was helicoptered away, and she made a 100% complete recovery. And the doctors told that family they had never seen a child that was at that long underwater, completely recover, had no brain damage or anything. And so I got the call after this had all happened. And that young man, he said the first words out of his mouth, he said, Pastor, if I didn't know what to do, if I didn't know how to pray the prayer of faith in the most desperate hour, he said, we know she would be dead. And so the prayer of faith, this is the Bible. This is the word. It's not just something we casually read, but we got to know how to do this. Amen. The prayer of faith will rescue the sick or the dying or however you want to put it. I believe that. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Yes. We're grateful for that. But notice the next verse, because it gets so interesting. Look at the next verse. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults. The Lord's going to raise him up, and the Lord's going to provide all this healing, but the Lord says, I want you to make sure that you're living a life of something. Confessing your faults one to another. Think about this. The Lord is saying, why would we confess our faults to one another? Because to confess your faults to another Christian brother or sister is to have a heart humble enough to say, I don't want to hurt the body of Christ. Isn't that why you confess your faults? Yeah. Like, or if you've missed it, or you need to repent to somebody, or you need to ask for forgiveness. He is saying, keep your heart tender to your brothers and sisters, the Lord's body, right? Confess your fault. Why should we confess our faults? Because faults have a way of becoming sins, right? Faults have a way of growing into something much worse and create bigger problems for the body of Christ. Are you getting a hold of this? It says, pray for one another. Pray for one another. You can't be mad at somebody constantly if you're praying for them. If you're mad at a brother or sister in the Lord, pray for them. Let your heart soften up, become tender, so you're not ticked off about them anymore. You're praying for them. Pray for one another. Confess your faults. Why? So it keeps the body of Christ healthy. And if the body of Christ is healthy, we have a tendency to stay healthier in our bodies. That's what he's talking about. He says, you make sure you confess your faults, pray for one another, be humble, bringing a supply to the body of Christ that you may be healed. It doesn't say that they may be healed, that you may be healed. You know what I mean? This isn't just talking about praying that someone else is healed. This is talking about you already confessing your faults, meaning that you've humbled yourselves together, that you're keeping each other accountable in a loving fashion, and then healing comes to those that care for the Lord's body. This is why I don't want to fight with you. That's why I don't want to criticize you. This is why I refuse to be offended at other believers, no matter what junk they do. You know, none of us are batting 1,000 with that by any means, believe me. Is there anybody else that's ever had a problem with that before? Come on, those of you that your hands are not up, you're not telling the truth right now. You know, lift your hand, lift your other hand, lift your foot, hover off the chair, lift the other foot, because we've all done that. But this is why we should refuse to be offended at people, why we refuse to fight with other Christians, refuse to give in to the drama. Boy, so much drama in these days. Give it up, right? The effectual, fervent prayer of someone who's confessing their faults, humble enough to consider their actions may hurt the body of Christ. Are you seeing this? When you get humble and have a heart that refuses to hurt the Lord's body, healing comes to you. That's what it says. That you may be healed. That you may be healed. Hold yourself accountable. Accountability keeps each other honest. It keeps the standard high in our lives. Why do we confess our faults? So we stay humble and keep a tender heart that says, I don't want to hurt the body. Oh, I refuse to be high maintenance in the body of Christ. If you're always high maintenance, you're hurting the body. Stop it. Our faults can hurt the body. And when you're confessing your faults, you don't realize you're saying, I have a heart, I don't want to hurt the body. Listen, we better start caring about this body more than we do this one. Are you getting a hold of this? See, in this verse, we get the order of importance. This body, right, is more important than this one. But we've got it backwards because all we see on Christian TV is how to get your healing, how to get your healing, how to get your healing. No, healing is just necessary so we can serve in the body of Christ. It's not just about me getting mine. It's about making sure I have what I need to fulfill the plan of God in the body of Christ. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Confess your faults. Confess your faults. Pray for one another that you may be healed. More and more and more people are losing the importance and the significance of the local church. They say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be there. I don't need to serve there. I don't need to give there. I don't need to, you know, lend my talents and my time there. Well, yes, the Lord's body matters. It matters. Praise the Lord. Let me show you this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for the local church. I need a place. that I can serve in the Lord's body. I need a place where I can give the couple talents I have to the Lord's body. I'm here so I can bring my tithe to the Lord's body. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, you shall bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, how are we going to be attached to the Lord? How is he the vine and we're the branches if we don't participate in his body? You know, that's why the scripture says, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's why, you know, what if your eyeball just said, you know what? I'm leaving the body today. You know, obviously that would mean that the body would have to go without. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. I always get this picture in my mind, and I've used this illustration before. How many of you remember Mr. Potato Head? Yeah. Mr. Potato Head. And remember, you know, when you got a Mr. Potato Head, when he was brand new, and on the picture, the eyes are all in the right place, he's got his hat on and his arms and his legs, and he looks complete. But, you know, remember when you were 5 years old and they dump out Mr. Potato Head and all the parts? You never put things where they were supposed to go. Right. Mr. Potato Head was boring if you did it right, you know what I mean? But, you know, you'd put his lips up on the top of his head, you'd put the arm, you know, or the leg coming out where the arm should be. You know, well, you know what? That's kind of the picture of the body of Christ if we're not careful. You know, where if we could see what the body of Christ looks like in the spiritual realm, if we're out of place, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be, that body would look all mangled and wrong. You know, we're supposed to be in our place doing what God told us to do. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians 12, go to verse 25. Let's just cut right to the chase here. Praise the Lord. And this is the point of the can you picture that in your mind? Mr. Potato Head with all of his pieces all out of place. That's what the body of Christ looks like when we are not in the right place. It's absolutely right. And Mr. Potato Head is pretty worthless, you know, if he's got an arm growing where his leg should be and all that. It says that there should be no schism, or literally division, in the body. It's talking about the body of Christ in the church. There should be no division in the church. None. That's God's will for a church. But that the members or the parts of the body should have the same care for one another. We give care to one another. See, my strength, my, you know, financial situation, my time, my talent, whatever it is, it's to give care to the body of Christ. Look at verse 26. Look at it. And it says, and whether one member suffers, that means one part of the body. Right? That's who we are. We are the parts of Christ's body. That's who we are. So if one of us is suffering, look what it says. All suffer with it. Or you could say it this way. If one is out of place, all are out of place. Or if one member or one part be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Wow. See, the scripture is giving us this picture of, you know, we should be so unified. We should have this heart to serve the body that what happens to one happens to all. Absolutely. That's the kind of care. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's really difficult to find this in the body of Christ today. Because we've been taught to just get for ourselves. This is the danger of the false prosperity gospel. Now, there is a truth to God's prosperity. But no, I'm talking about the stuff that we see so often. It's making people selfish. They think that all faith is a way to get money, and you got to be careful. And of course, you got to keep your heart tender. But notice, if one of us suffer, all of us suffer. If one of us is honored, all of us are honored. You know, if one of us has talents, we all benefit from that talent. If we have resources, we all benefit. If we have time, we all benefit. If we have volunteers, we benefit. If all our givers, we all benefit. Are you getting a hold of this? Amen. Having a heart to protect and serve the body of Christ produces healing. Confessing faults prevents something small from becoming a much bigger problem. Letting go of offense and forgiving one another keeps the body spiritually healthy. And when the body of Christ is spiritually healthy, the Bible says you get healed. Amen. Amen. Did you get a hold of that? Why do we do anything? Why do we have anything? Why do we seek the blessings of God? The Bible says, James warned us in James 4:3. He says, you ask amiss because you seek to use it for yourself. Has anybody ever caught themselves doing that? Do we have any honest people here? If you don't think you're selfish, listen, I'll tell you right now, I'm selfish. I'll tell you right now, so are you. Selfishness just permeates the flesh. That's what the flesh is. Always wants it for ourselves. But we're part of the body. Amen. And when this body is healthy, this body is healthy. That's the word of God. I'm sticking to it. Did you get something out of this here tonight? So what are we going to do with it? What are you going to do in your heart? Where are you with the Lord's body? Where are you connected? Hey, I know we just switched over. Can we bring one last verse up? You know I always got one last verse. We're going to bring this up. And I hope it's the right chapter. And I hope it's the right verse. I hear it playing in my spirit. I believe it is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And if it's not, listen, I hear the words of the verse. God doesn't give me the chapter in the verse. I hear the words. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we bring up Ephesians 4:16? There it is. This is talking about the body of Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Everyone say together. See, I'm not here to get my success. I'm here to promote yours. That's what this body is for. I want you walking in the plan of God. I want you blessed. I want you to know the Lord. I want you to be obedient and faithful and walking in the joy of God and the blessings and the promises. Amen. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, or every part supplies. Every single one of us are here to supply something for the next. Not for ourselves. Notice, we're a supply. And I use this illustration. I've said this a million times. You can either be the faucet or you can be the drain. I want to be a faucet. I don't want to be a drain. Well, there's a lot of directions we could take that. We'll leave it right there. Right? Every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, meaning what God gave you. We all have different measures. Some might have more measure of talent than others. Others might have more measure of finances than others. You know, people have different skill sets, right? But everyone working in the measure of what they have, that will what? Make increase of the body unto the edifying or the strengthening of itself in love. Isn't that awesome? My life needs the body of Christ. First and foremost, I need the body. I need the local church. I need to serve anything I've got, anything I can do to help the body, and that's you. Anything I can do to help you go further in God's plan. Amen. Meditate on this. It'll change your life. This is how, and this is one way that healing flows to the church. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you so much for your word. You said to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another, because we understand behind that, that would mean that we would care about one another. That means that we would care about not destroying the body of Christ, but our hearts would be humble and tender. Yeah. Father, we just take this opportunity to ask ourselves within the quiet of our own conscience. Let's all just ask ourselves this question. Ask yourself in the quiet of your own conscience, am I helping the body or am I hurting it? Listen, I believe that this room is filled with so many people. you are absolutely helping the body. But ask yourself that question in case there's anything in there that you got to judge, you got to take care of. God loves you. His plan for your life is you being connected to the body of Christ. You know what? Maybe that's here at Family Church. Maybe I'm supposed to be your pastor. Maybe I'm not. That's not what we're getting at. But what we need to know is where we're supposed to be. And when we're called there, we have a supply to bring to the local church so that others, that blessing may come to somebody else, that the body would be healthy. And then, yes, we receive of our healing. Father, you are faithful and good. Thank you that you have provided this way and you've explained this to us. Thank you, Father, for the local church. Thank you, Lord God. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Ask yourself that question. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Are you saved? You should know the answer to that question instantly. Are you saved? If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. But just between you and God, I'm going to ask you to take one step of faith towards him. If you know in your heart that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat between you and the Lord, you can pray and ask him and call on him by faith. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now just high enough so I can see it? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that you just know in your heart that you need to respond? Maybe you're here tonight, you are a Christian, and you know that you're a Christian, and you just know in your heart, when you hear this message, you just got to get some things right. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, could you just lift your hand? Anyone here tonight that you'd say, I'd like to rededicate my life to the Lord? Thank you. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. God loves you. Be connected to the body. Find your local church. I mean, I know many of you are attached here. Some, you know, others are not. Just find where God wants you to be and be there. Well, we had several hands. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. If you lifted your hand here tonight, pray these words with us. We're all going to be praying. We're not trying to, select you out by yourself. Everyone will be praying. Pray these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I will live for you, I will obey you, and I will be connected to your body. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see everybody here tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just rejoice and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we just praise you tonight. Thank you.